Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
It is 12:06. Thanks for being with us today. And thanks to Leslie, our sales manager. The incomparable Leslie. She says, Buzz Karaoke started at the bar Hog Wild next to Market Street Theater. At Magic, when they started it back there, it was at Underground Pub. And I do remember a number of Tommy Smith events at Underground Pub over the years. I may or may not have seen him put a Sharpie to work at the Underground Pub back in the day. Back in the heyday. Final hour, and we're going to do some entertainment birthdays here, but Jason Peterson is joining us, the former KTV consumer reporter, Christmas karaoke multiple year champion, great dad and father, and just all around nice guy. If you don't remember him, let me refresh your memory from his days on the show with no name.
Some love him.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Some hate him.
Call me back and put this on TV, bitch. Somebody's knocking. Should I
let him in? Lord, it's the devil. Would you look at him? The devil sent you here.
I've heard about him, but I never dreamed.
I need Devin on your side.
I got a story for y'all. This story is juicy, you hear me?
Exposing scams and scoundrels since 1999.
Scam on our side or your side or whatever it is, make side it would be on.
Product tester, consumer advocate, karaoke king, and always on your side. Here's Channel 7's Jason Peterson.
Now DHS's Jason Peterson. What's up, buddy?
Hi, good
to see
you,
man.
Yeah.
Somebody's Knocking, the book is out today.
July 16th, but you can pre-order it today.
Pre-order. Yeah. Okay, I saw your wife put a post up, and I just read. Yeah. David's like, I don't think it's out yet. I said, I think I saw it was out today. Yeah. Pre-order now. Yep. I have made my way halfway through this book, and
you're
it is...
You're one of the few people who have gotten to read it, I mean, because I gave you an advance copy.
Thank you.
So I'm curious to see what you think.
I love it. I love it. It's great, and there's a lot of great stories in here, and again, it's about Jason and the people who were his predecessors. Basically looking out for people in Arkansas. I was, you know, the one thing that really stood out to me about things that were wrong that are maybe still wrong today was talking about tenants' rights. Mm-hmm. And that's still something that needs to be addressed in the legislature.
Just, they can't get it done. Doesn't matter who's been in charge, Democrats, Republicans, it doesn't matter. It's just, nothing has changed, really.
All the protections are for the owners.
Right.
Which, again, I think there should be some ownership protections. See, when I read about stories in California where you basically have a squatter who won't pay rent and you can't kick him out, that's not right either.
No. Or in New York, that happens too, yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
The two coastals.
Mm-hmm.
You excited about the debate tonight, I'm sure. We're all going to watch that, right?
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to sit on my couch or kind of hide behind my couch as I watch, because who knows what's going to happen.
I think it's going to be great. I was arguing with our young morning producer today. He's like, I don't even watch it. I already know where they stand on the issues. I'm like, this is going to be the most compelling debate since, like, JFK.
No, it's entertainment. It's since not about the politics.
Nixon, JFK. Yeah.
I just am really – I'm curious to see how they're going to comport themselves. Can Trump keep his temper or his excitement under wraps to some degree where it's – I think where people in the middle will not find it completely gross. And then – obviously, everybody wants to know if President Biden can be sense. can he be coherent?
Can Biden get under Trump's skin to make him, you know, get his heart rate up, or can Trump befuddle Biden to the point where he's stammering and not being able to, you know, stay on point or on message?
I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got a story here from Jason. That's so the unique thing about this book. Somebody's Knocking. Again, how do they order it online? Pre-order.
You can go to bookshop.org, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Wordsworth Books has it online.
Okay.
Yeah, anywhere, any place you'd normally find books.
And for many of our listeners.
Or the website, jasonpeterson.com. Jasonpetersonbook.com.
Jasonpetersonbook.com. Yeah. It's P-E-D-E-R-S-O-N. Many of our listeners have never found books, and that's fine too. But you'll find this compelling because it's different. Jason not only tells great stories from our own state, but also has QR codes to go back and watch some of the stories, or all the stories if you want to. And they're very compelling. They're basically links to YouTube, which is awesome. And I applaud Channel 7 for letting you use this as part of your book. But it definitely adds another layer, and it's a unique approach. How'd you come to that?
I had the idea, you know, 20 years ago before QR codes existed. I thought the book eventually would include a CD that you could put, or DVD, that you could put in and watch. Then the QR code technology came out, and I said, oh, this is going to be much simpler. Everybody already has a smartphone. All they'll have to do is scan this. And so really when the pandemic hit and QR codes were used everywhere for menus, for, you know, QR codes just became part of the culture, I thought, that's what I'm going to use.
Yeah.
And that's how it worked out.
How many are there total in there?
There's over 40. I think there's 42 or 43.
Okay. Well, it's, if you go through all the QR codes and read the book, it's going to take a minute, but it's an easy read, and there are so many compelling stories, and it is riveting, honestly. I'm halfway through, and it's fantastic. Some are very serious. Some are scary. I mean, how many would you call run-ins did you think you had in the course of doing Seven on Your Side?
You mean where I was either... So you'd either get threatened with a lawsuit, or you'd get threatened physically.
How many times were you physically threatened, do you think? Or did
not,
you feel
not as many as you'd probably expect.
More than two?
Oh, yeah, more than two.
Less than 10?
Less than 10, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they're good TV.
Yeah, you know, consumer reporters all over the country get punched. I never got punched, thankfully. We got shot at.
We had a guy at K show up to our door knocking on it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell Mitch McCoy to come outside. Tell Mitch McCoy to come outside.
Oh, yeah.
It was aggressive.
Yeah, that is aggressive.
He said, I'm going to whoop his. It was.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Don't be doing shady stuff.
I told you this week we're trying to get a KATV get together next month. And one of the stories in the book that I have read is a story about a photographer named Richard Newman who could have done stand-up comedy if he didn't follow the photographer route. And there are a lot of very talented photographers at 7. When I got there, I understood the hierarchy pretty quickly. It's photographers and everybody else. The anchors are below them. The reporters are well below them. Even the administration looked up to them most of the time. Rich was a pretty even-keel guy, is an even-keel guy, but he's also hilarious and really talented. But he could be pushed too far. I can't wait to wear my shirt to the gathering if we get it together.
Yeah.
But tell people the story about that, because the one thing I was taught early on was, for a photographer, a camera's an extension of their body, and it's hands-off.
Yeah, hands-off. So Marshall Hancock was a scoundrel down in Hot Springs that I did many, many stories on. And finally, he got charged with his crimes and was in court. And as he and his brother were leaving the courtroom, Marshall was in a wheelchair, big guy, not the picture of health.
Right.
And he got into the vehicle, and his brother was trying to load this motorized wheelchair using a couple of 2x4s up into the back of their SUV or minivan or whatever it was. And Rich was recording this whole thing, and eventually the brother got tired of Rich pointing his camera at him, so went over there and took Rich by the arm that's supporting the camera, and Rich just said, hey, man, I'm not the one. I'm not the one, man. And so the guy backed off, loaded up the vehicle, slammed the door, peeled out. And so I was just so impressed with Rich's cool under pressure and just saying, I'm not the one. I'd never heard that. I'm not the one.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so I got a picture of Rich, and I made T-shirts for anyone who wanted to buy one that just said, I'm not the one, with him holding his camera.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've got one. I've got one, yeah.
It's classic. I will be wearing it to our gathering if we can get it together. All right, let's tell this story here. This is one of the many YouTube links that you can get in the book. And this is, you're looking out for a tenant here, right? And she was one of a couple of tenants that were featured in this story from a slumlord.
Yeah.
Let me just say it the way it is. He is.
Yeah, he had let the plumbing in this rental property get to the point where it was backing up, feces was backing up not only into the toilet but into the bathtub, into the kitchen sink.
Ugh.
I mean, that's how bad it was. So she called us. We went to this property out in East Pulaski County. We looked at the place and we interviewed her. Here's what she had to say.
That's nasty.
Diane Alford says for a month the toilet in her rent house has been backing up, not just over the rim but also into her bathtub, bathroom sink, and even kitchen sink. She's been going to the bathroom outside in a 5-gallon bucket.
Suppose that somebody comes through there driving down the highway and see my butt. That wouldn't look good. That would be calling the sheriff on me for indecent disposal. I mean, he needs to do something. He really, really does.
She said she told you a month ago that her septic tank needed to be pumped, that her toilet and everything was backing up.
We reached Diane's landlord by phone. He claims he had no idea things were so bad. He assures us he will get the plumbing problem fixed. But nothing in Arkansas law requires any landlord to do anything. Legislators recently failed to take any action on a bill that would have changed this. Lewis Flowers has the same landlord and recently had to fix the roof on his rent house.
I think the landlord should always keep up their own things that go wrong with the apartment if someone is renting from them. You know, they should take care of that, you know. and it shouldn't be up to the tenant, unless they damage it themselves.
Sounds fair. You intentionally did not name the landlord in the story because typically, and people probably didn't realize this, you give the folks a chance to make it right before you put them on blast.
Right, and he did make it right, so we never did put him on blast. He fixed that plumbing problem within 2 days, and she had plumbing working in her. And that's our, that was always our goal at 7RSI, was not to blast people on TV. It was to get the problem resolved for the person. Now, sometimes you did have to blast people on TV because they just wouldn't do the right thing.
You also had some reports that you guys initiated that led to legal action against people over the years, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give me a couple examples of that.
You mean, don't clarify that.
Where you guys made people aware about it. Wasn't there something that where eventually charges were brought against somebody that had been doing wrong?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the Marshall Hancock was one example. Yeah. Gene Hickman, he got charged. I mean, Chapter 5 profiles the dishonest eight, the eight scoundrels that I did the most stories on during my 20 years as the 7RSI reporter. So In some of those cases, the scoundrels got charged, but a lot of times prosecutors will say it's a civil matter, there was a contract involved, we're not going to get involved. But occasionally, there would be a prosecutor, there'd be so many victims, they just couldn't ignore it. They'd say, this guy's out of control, we got to charge him. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, several times. And sometimes TV, and DJ knows this, sometimes TV is good in that regard, that it can draw attention to something or an issue or a person or a bad, you know, bad actor.
Yeah.
And get things changed, get them off, take them out. Dara Booth was another one. She's another of the dishonest eight who ultimately was charged.
Yeah, there's women out there too. Look out.
She's the only one woman was in the dishonest.
One woman for every seven men? That seems about right. That's about the right ratio. Christian, go ahead. Sorry.
So there were people that were repeat offenders on 7.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The dishonest eight, I did multiple stories on these people. Yeah.
How did they keep? They just don't care.
They
huh?
don't have any shame?
Well, in a couple cases, in Marshall Hancock and in a guy over in Morrilton, in his case, they would go online and find their victims outside of state where people couldn't see Channel 7 or weren't aware of what was going on. So they expanded their horizons and started having out-of-state victims. Other ones just don't care. They'll put me on.
What's amazing, too, is you would have one guy with this business, let's just say Acme whatever, and then he would change it to H&H something or other. It's just like they would do the same crap to different people, new name, so it's hard to track them. It's wild that people can get away with this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
So unlike, you know, reporters come in, they pitch, they go out, turn a package, and it's ready for the 5 and the 6 and the 10. You hear about something from the first time you hear about it, usually how long would then it take for it to be ready for air?
So some of the stories, you're right, would have to bubble and percolate for a while. But they were expecting something from 7RSI every night. So whether the story aired that night, or I'd always have multiple irons in the fire just kind of working them. And sometimes I'd have to grab a product recall to fill my slot that night on the news. Sometimes I'd have to go do a follow-up story with a story I'd done a couple weeks ago, see if how things had worked out. But yeah, you had to be real organized and real forward-thinking to meet that every night we want a story from
someone. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Speaking of, it wasn't just me. I had a producer, and I had a team of volunteers, the 7RSI volunteers, that also worked all these cases with me.
So. Donna was the one you worked with the longest?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's her last name again?
It was Catroni when I started, but Donna Nunn now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Donna's great. She was a great staple around the newsroom, too, always a breath of fresh air and no nonsense, and I'm sure working with her was great, too.
It was great, yeah. She was highly organized and highly effective in her advocacy for Arkansans.
No doubt. Yeah.
What was the role of the volunteers?
So the volunteers, the 7RSI helpline was and still is, I believe, open during the middle of the day, and you would call and you would talk to the volunteer and tell them your problem. They would get the first crack at trying to solve it. They would call the other party involved. Hi, I'm Alice with 7RSI. We got this complaint. We'd like to get your side of things. They're keeping notes. They're filling out a form. And they'll work it until it gets to the point where it's solved or they can't go any further. Then they bring it to Donna. Donna would work it. If she thinks it's worthy of bringing to my attention, then she'd pass it off to me and it would, you know, probably become a story at that point. But 90% of the calls that came in, the volunteers and Donna got them worked out on behalf of the caller before I never even heard about them.
Jason Peterson joining us in the studio today. Somebody's knocking the book, Lessons Learned from a Quarter Century of TV Reporting. You are a very detailed guy. You just pointed that out in doing your job. You're also extremely creative, which was impressive. I used to go up Friday nights on the chopper and do the Friday Night Football stuff.
And then to go up in the air?
Yeah.
And then, choppers?
I did it too, yeah.
That's a real thing?
So occasionally Jason would fill in for me. And he would come back and he would turn these incredible stories. And I was like, I'm literally slapping highlights together, barely getting it in and handing it in. He's over here like telling these great stories, getting these great interviews. You know, his energy was great. And I'm just like, I can't do that. I don't work well on the deadline, but you were great. Like, that's what's impressive to me about you is you work great over time on a story. But if you got squeezed into, you got an hour to put a piece together and it's got to be creative and great, you could turn it around quickly. And that's a very impressive talent because not a lot of people can do both of those things. But I'm curious, because of the way you operate, did you document these stories and sort of keep them in a file and think, someday there's a book in this, or did you go back and backtrack on all of it?
Both. We had file cabinets up in the 7 on your side office from way back in the Duane Graham days. We kept track of every case. They had a manila folder. It was alphabetized, and it was real old school. Nothing was really in the computer. And so all those file folders would be, you know, years would go by, and we had probably 12 file folders filled with stories and notes from the stories. So we'd have the old phone numbers, the old contacts, the notes from the volunteer. And we did that for two reasons. The main reason was if we ever got sued, we would need to be able to produce that material and be able to defend ourselves. We always approach stories thinking, if this goes before a judge, is the judge or the jury going to be satisfied that I did everything I could to contact the other party, that I was fair to the other party? Because any consumer group is one lost lawsuit away from probably being disbanded.
Right. And you guys never had a successful lawsuit against you?
Never. No, we were sued, but never successfully. Right. They'd always be dropped or dismissed. Never settled either. We never settled a suit. But, you know, TV stations are risk averse, and a segment like mine kind of makes the sales department nervous, the general manager nervous sometimes, depending on what you're working on.
Especially if it's a client.
Yeah, especially if it's a client. So you have to really, you know, cross your T's, dot your I's, keep track of everything, do everything, you know.
So how often did y'all get calls where somebody had to say, that's not really a problem? Like, if I called them, so I was just like, these kids won't stay off my grass.
Oh, well, I mean, we 7 on Your Side started in the early days back in the late 80s as a referral agency. All we did was refer people to the agency or whoever could help them. Mm-hmm. The reason we became more of an advocacy arm is because those same people would call back and say, hey, I called this person or that agency or that organization, and they haven't really helped or solved it for me. Is there anything else you can do?
Right.
And so ultimately, we had to start using the power of television to help folks. Yeah. But we still always refer people to other agents just because on a scale, we can't do it all. We would refer people out and say, hey, give them a chance. Give the Better Business Bureau can't help you with this. Call us back. We'll get re-involved. And a lot of times they could get there. They just needed to know who to contact.
You cover a lot of ground in the book, and obviously, again, a lot of good work has been done by the office. You also endured some loss. We all did, and the community, and certainly the Channel 7 family, during your tenure there. And apparently, I didn't get to this part yet, but you document or talk about a little bit Paul Eales and Presley.
Yeah, it's not all the stories with 7 on Your Side. We talk about Paul and Ann's death and how that impacted not only our newsroom but the entire state. We get into Chapter 15 is the more fun stuff that we try it before you buy it segments that I did or the celebrity karaoke. We get into that. You were reading right off the top the history of celebrity karaoke. When did it start? I interviewed the people that were there who were a part of it.
Okay.
That's in the book. It
tells
the history of that event.
And I don't even know the details on that.
I interviewed Larry out at Youth Home about how it benefited Youth Home and how much money they raised, how important it was to their mission. And so, yeah, we touch on a lot of different areas of my 20 years as a 7 on Your Side reporter.
I love it. The book is Somebody's Knocking. Check it out and pre-order today. JasonPetersonBook.com.
Today, tomorrow, whenever you want.
Whenever you want before it comes
out. They'll ship July 16th. But
that's when it goes on shelves, too?
Yeah, I think I checked before I came over. A couple hundred people have pre-ordered, which is
great.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Congrats.
I'm really excited. I think people are going to like it. If you love Arkansas history, if you love Arkansas television, if you love, you know, the stories behind the stories, if you love using your smartphone while you read a book, you know, I think you'll really enjoy that.
I like using my smartphone all the time. Certainly when I'm on the air, I use it all the time.
It's tough, right?
It is.
Information.
It is. So how long have you been planning this?
Well, like I said, I've been keeping notes and thinking I would do it from way back when I started.
So when you were keeping the notes, you were thinking this could be a book.
I was thinking it didn't really crystallize till after I left Channel 7, and then it took me a few years to I had to learn my new job. And then during the pandemic, there was a little downtime. A lot of people had some downtime. So I started writing chapters just one at a time and ultimately put it all together.
It's good use of your time. I drank a lot then, Jason.
You still watch the news?
Yes.
Would you say you're a newsie?
People? I would say, you know,
you like
I don't
to be informed?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
since you, I think I've heard, because, you know, I would say I'm newer to the news industry, more than you would be. And people would say back in the day they used to do this, 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 and this, and news was just had a different approach, and they had kind of different standards and stuff. And when you watch news today, where are you at? Are you like, wow, they've gotten, you know, they're really taken to the next step, or do you wish things maybe would go back to the way that they were? Like, where are you at on that?
I like watching local news because they don't over-sensationalize. Mm-hmm. They don't try to hype things up like the national news can sometimes. I don't watch CNN or Fox News or any of the 24-hour news channels. Mm-hmm. I try to watch the local newscast at 5, the nightly news at 6, or at 5:30 I flip around, and then the news at 6 and 10.
And do you read the paper that you used to throw in the morning?
Paper,
you read
online,
the paper
online.
Yeah.
Jason,
you still get a hard. You don't have no more hard copies.
I get the Sundays
on Sundays, but I read it on the iPad every morning. And Jason used to supplement his income back in the day. We were all struggling. He was throwing papers in the morning.
Nice.
Well, you know what my first second job was when I worked at 7. I worked at Books A Million.
Okay.
I was
this is a good story.
The clerk, and I'm sitting there checking people out and. Who comes through my line? Dawn Scott, the reporter. She was a reporter then, and she recognized me, and I recognized her, and I'm looking like a Books A Million employee, and she's got her sweats and her hat on, and I just decided at that point, I need a second job where I'm not going to be seen, because this was awkward. So I said, what better than throwing the paper at night? Nobody sees you unless they're...
Unless I'm leaving in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah, unless they're going in to work on Daybreak. Or,
you're on DJ's schedule then, but you got to go back to bed for a while.
I got to go back to bed for a while.
Exactly. You can stick around. We're going to do entertainment birthdays if you want to.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
I know you got a thing this afternoon, but just stay as long as you want to. Jason Peterson in studio, 1228. And we're going to take our... time out here. When we come back, we'll do some entertainment and birthdays. We'll see how Peterson stacks up to it. He may be great at karaoke, but is he great at celebrity birthdays? We'll find out coming up on the other side of the break, so stick around.